Welcome back to the Glint Standard. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the evolving use of AI in the marketing world. Jonathan, great. Mr. AI. We've got the generational thing going on, so it'll be interesting to see how our perspectives align or don't align in some of this. So what are your thoughts overall with AI? Do you know what it means?
Artificial intelligence, I think, is the word on the street. Not 100%
I might
sure.
not be the right person for this episode.
No?
No, I thought it was like artificial imagery or something like that.
Not yet. Could evolve into that, the way it's evolving now and how fast it's
They're trying hard, aren't they?
They're really pushing some new ideas, so it could happen.
So how do we know that AI is starting to grow?
So roughly 64% of marketers are already using AI in some capacity, whether it be more menial everyday tasks or more complex email workflows or automations. One department store in particular has grown its email campaigns from personalizations being 20%. They've increased it upwards of 95%.
That's a huge jump.
Yeah, it's a huge jump.
So here's my concern with that.
Okay.
Right? I think everyone has to understand it's not like hit the AI button, here's the awesome context, plug it in and you're done. Yeah. I mean, it still takes a lot of work. You still have to be creative in how you think about what you want that to say. And I think that's the thing, as it starts to grow, it is evolving and it is getting better, but we're nowhere near the point that you can just hit a button, it produces it all, and off you go.
No.
If you truly want to get the essence of what your brand is about.
Yeah.
If you're just trying to push stuff out, you actually can do that.
Yeah. One of my favorite comparisons that I've seen people use is this, like, sifting for gold. You never find gold on the first go. AI is really great, especially with some of the tools that they use now. One of the primary uses they have it for is text generation. So you input a prompt, and it produces some kind of text-based content, whether it be for a blog, individual emails, text messages. It produces that material. A lot of individuals that use it poorly will just take that first go and then throw it in their email and then cast it out into the ether. That's not the appropriate way to approach it. Like I said, going back to that sifting for gold metaphor, you want to take that and refine it. My favorite phrase to use is that it goes from turning your job from being a goes from being a copywriter to a copy editor.
Yeah.
This is where you go through those different drafts. Easily, you know, 3 to 4 drafts is a great number to kind of look at when you're wanting to take that material and then edit it further.
Yeah, the complexity of all that, and here's part of it too. It's you can write context around what you want it to produce for you.
Yeah.
And it's going to deliver that.
Yeah.
You put that same prompt in again.
Yeah.
And deliver something different.
Yeah.
You can take that prompt, put it into a different system. It's going to produce something different. And that just validates the point that you have to look at what you're doing and make sure you're making it work for you, not doing the work for you.
Exactly.
And it's a little nuanced thing, but it makes all the difference in the world. Is almost every one of us at this point go, that's AI.
Yeah.
But when it is AI and you can't point out that it's AI, now you're going, okay, that's evolving a bit.
Yeah.
It's probably been nuanced a little bit too, usually, and probably should be.
Yeah. A great way to look at it as well is similarly to how calculators have been brought into common use for the day-to-day individual.
In my day, I wasn't allowed to use those.
I know. I was going to say, we all heard, like, you can't use a calculator. That's cheating.
Well, you only had two problems as well, because we had to chisel our answer in the stone, and it took too long, so you only had a certain amount of time to do so many problems.
Or you had to lift up the WordPress and take out the individual blocks.
Back
in the Ben Franklin days.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a tool in the same regard. A calculator isn't meant to just be a supercomputer that does all the work for you. You still have to have the human element that knows which questions and which problems to prompt into the computer, and then you get an appropriate answer on the other side of that. So it's meant to be a very helpful tool, but it's not meant to do every bit of the work for you.
Yeah, what are some of the areas you think that are evolving the most?
One of the main areas, I think, are primarily videography. I think that's one of the strongest areas where you're gonna kind of see that in the future. It's really, really great for either inputting a prompt for like a podcast or maybe a commercial or something along those lines, and then it can produce a first draft of a script, or it can maybe produce a running idea. That's one of the great uses for the text generation side. Now, as a lot of people know, OpenAI produced its first round of Sora, which is their text-to-video generation platform. It's not open to the public yet. It probably won't be until either early next year or late next year. But that's really producing some great ideas because filmmakers can use that to create storyboards, visual storyboards, proof of concept, so that you can bring something to a studio or a production company and you can have a proof of concept so that you can better refine, build sets, and have a clear idea approaching that project.
Yeah, it's interesting. Tyler Perry has actually done millions of films, right?
Yeah.
But he's actually used it in some of his films already.
I believe it.
And based on what he believes where the advancement of that's going to go, not investing millions of dollars now into making new studios and things like that, because you'd be able to make those virtually. And you think about the cost savings in that, and you also think about the environment, so it's going to get to the point you can really nuance in the details. Everybody's going to jump on, oh, what about all the jobs, right? But you still have to think about what needs to be there, and that's value. You still have to input that piece into it, at least this day and age, you certainly do.
And that's why, you have to evolve and adapt and overcome. A lot of these writers, I've heard from a lot of creatives that just express the same concerns that you talked about, well, what about the writers? What about the creative element? What happens to us? And all this other stuff. And I think that something that's very beneficial and a way to adapt is to, like I said, take that copy editor versus copywriter approach. You can still input your ideas, by all means. Use your creative. Otherwise, you're going to get very stagnant material. And you're going to get very, very emotionless products.
It is, but it's also going to, it kind of takes us back to a Renaissance period to some degree, where if you wanted to be an artist, you had to be a good artist.
Yeah.
And that's all evolved with the tools that we've had, where people who maybe are creative, but aren't artists, can still work that through a little bit. Well, now we're kind of evolving back a little bit. If you don't have a really good idea, if you can't think creatively, it's not going to help you as much unless you tell it to do the creative for you, but then you're doing it just like everybody else type of thing, right? And those are the nuanced things about knowing what do I need to ask. The other area that I think has changed a lot is coding.
Yes.
And it's been great for that. Like, it's been great for me, not on a web or digital landscape, but just think about a program like Excel.
Yeah.
I would really love it if this field could take this, 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 and do this thing. Tell it that.
Yeah.
Here's the code to make that happen. Paste it in, and it works.
Yeah.
So anyone who's thinking about, trying to play a little bit, that's a great, efficient way to learn how to use a program better. And it does do it for you, but if you really look at what it did, it's also teaching you how to do it. So next time, you can be a little bit quicker at it.
Yeah. One of the really cool, new, and innovative ways individuals are, because that's the human element, right, is we get something, and we always find new ways to improve upon it or maybe think outside the box. One of the coolest ways that I had recently seen where individuals are trying to really push what you can do with AI is in augmented reality. So one of the coolest features I recently saw was that there's a skincare and makeup company that already have the ability to take a picture of you and put it in augmented reality. And then by using that augmented reality, you can see what that product or what that toner or whatever the makeup product is can look on the client's face. But not only that, because they started implementing artificial intelligence with it too, now it'll make suggestions based on preferences that you use in that augmented reality. So using the two together are really taking it into some really, really cool territories that haven't really been explored before.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's interesting because, augmented reality has been around quite a while.
Yeah.
And it has yet to really take off into the marketing world and product world like everybody thought it would. VR was kind of like that too, and it's made huge advances.
Oh, for sure.
Right? But I think of it too, the QR code as well. It came along like, we don't need that.
Yeah.
It's dead. And then we really needed it. And now it's still pretty prominent in a lot of things that you see. I think it'll even itself out to some degree.
Yeah.
But it's funny how the technology, it's part of it is about are we ready for it?
Yeah.
The other side of it is, it's got to be processed.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest issues that we're going to face is if everybody's using it and feeding these computers to generate for us, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of resource that's required to generate that kind of response for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really starting to think about how it really affects the world from an environmental standpoint, right?
So. And like you said, it's like any great tool. Like there are appropriate and inappropriate ways to utilize it. And this is so new and it's developing so fast. We're still in that nuanced phase where we're trying to see like, okay, what are the right ethical approaches to using it here versus here? What are the pros? What are the cons? So it's a development that we're going through, but it's a very exciting time because, you know, all kinds of innovations, the individuals will get this and expand on it. And so it's a really exciting time, especially in, like I said, our world of marketing. It's been a really great place where I think that professionals in our sphere have been getting some really cool stuff with it.
Yeah, it's exciting. Every time something new comes on board, we jump on it, learn.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out where our spot is.
Yeah,
for sure. You know, smart people can do that.
Yeah. Yep. So some good AI tools for us to kind of explore if you're looking into getting into the AI sphere and you're wanting to start playing with some of these tools. Obviously, the first one that comes to mind is ChatGPT. That's kind of the one that really broke on the scene and really got everybody super excited. It's a text generation, so you insert a prompt and it produces some kind of copy. It's also great for outlines and some other materials and stuff like that. Another great tool that you can use if you're wanting to explore the text prompts a little bit more is Grammarly. It's a really great companion tool for ChatGPT. ChatGPT has a lot of great pros. Some of the cons, though, is that sometimes its sentence structure is a little off. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can feel stale. Sometimes it doesn't, from a traditional Grammarly perspective, it doesn't put things together in the most efficient way or the most correct way. Grammarly is another tool that you can use to edit your copy, as well as it has its own built-in AI system as well that just kind of functions a little bit off the ChatGPT, but not entirely. It is really great for going in and making suggestions, improving your copy. So it's a great sifting tool because, as we mentioned with the kind of sifting for gold mentality, you have, you know, draft one, draft two, draft three. It can be a great tool getting you from one draft to the next without making too many mistakes.
Yeah, and I think one thing to keep in mind from a brand perspective, because that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
As you use these systems,
yes,
you can put in personality information,
yes,
prompt it to write a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You can teach it kind of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to remember, though, if you're a brand and you're not the individual anymore, is it writing for you as an individual? Is it writing for the brand?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have an overall branded tool for Grammarly or ChatGPT that if you're writing for the business, you write in there because that context is already in place?
Yeah.
Or if you're writing it for yourself, you're pulling it out of there. Because if you keep messing with the personality nuances, it's going to keep changing the way it's going to learn about how to give you a response.
Yeah.
So you have to think about those things as well.
Yeah.
And then when you're driving it from one platform, if everyone is using ChatGPT, and then you drive it to a platform that can manage your brand and has your branded voice in there, it's going to adapt for that for you as well. And that's where the AI works there.
Yeah.
But now we're using two tools to get where we need to be.
Yeah.
So knowing where you need to be is the key.
Yeah.
And then not settling on, oh, well, good enough.
Yeah.
No, it's not doing what I want. Maybe I need one more tool. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to reset some of my settings to get there. And that's how you're making it work for you versus just letting it do the work.
And I think you brought up something really interesting just a second ago that I think really rings true to something you said before, which is I think an ancillary effect to using AI technologies is it's going to force the individual putting in the prompts to know the brand better. I think that, you know, you've said many, many times that, you know, brands aren't just pretty pictures and logos. It's the essence of what that company, business represents. And if you don't know that going into chat, it's just going to, you know, like we talked about our automations discussion, it's just going to show you where your inefficiencies really are. And it's not going to produce the same caliber of product or the same caliber of prompt that you might have had you had a better grasp on your brand. So I think an ancillary kind of benefit that I think a lot of marketers are going to get is going to force them to really dig in and really know their brand. So,
yeah, I agree.
Like ChatGPT is a great tool. Grammarly is a great tool. One, if you're wanting to experiment and get into kind of the visual world of like text input to image generation is DALL-E. That's DALLE-3. That's one of the big ones on the market. Another really good one, you have to pay to subscribe to this one, but Midjourney is one that I've used on many, many different occurrences. You know, you can use that through Discord That's a great little entry-level one. They have a...
For old people?
Yeah.
Super convoluted and weird to get
into.
Yeah,
I know. Like,
am I in the right place?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that as people are jumping into the path of discovery.
Yeah.
Where, oh, buy this tool, use this tool, where Midjourney kind of, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Am I in the right place? What is this place?
Well, it's great because you can see, the reason why I bring it up is because if you're kind of on the fence and you're not really wanting to pull the trigger just yet, it's a great place to see individuals experiment with it live, because it kind of has a forum kind of format. So you can see individuals experiment with it live, and you can see what prompts they're putting in, and then what images are being spit out. And then I think it's like when you first get into it, I think it's like your first, 30 generations or something like that. There's a certain number are free. So you can kind of experiment and play with it and see like, is this something I'm really wanting to use? And then once you subscribe to it, or even if you wanted to use that to experiment and then go to like maybe something that's a little more traditional like DALL-E or something like that. But it's a good place to kind of go in and experiment, kind of see what people are doing and maybe get some ideas.
Yeah, I think an important button there is regeneration button.
Yeah.
If you don't get what you want, regenerate.
Yep.
And then you can also nuance that a little bit to start guiding it to where it needs to go. But it's work. It's still work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about where you're going to settle.
Yeah.
Are you truly going to get exactly what you want? The goal is, this is what I want. I want to see if I can get it to do it.
Yeah.
Right? How do I make that happen?
Yeah. One of the biggest things I've noticed when it comes to the image generation, if you're wanting to experiment with it, is have a loose idea in mind. Give the AI room to experiment and try different things. If you come in with a more clear, concise idea, it's not going to produce what you're looking for. If you come in with like a rough idea, I kind of want a man holding a product doing XYZ. But if you go in and you say, I want a man wearing a purple shirt holding a product that's 3 inches tall saying this exact same, it's going to get all kinds of wonky. So it's better to go in with like a loose idea and then refine from there.
Yeah.
So it's like a sculptor with the marble. The sculpture's in there, the statue's in there. You just kind of got to refine it and find it. So
that's great. I agree. It's very fun.
Yeah, it is very fun. You can get lost in it. Be careful. Look at your watch
when
you start.
Big time waster for
sure.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, thank you for joining us in this episode. If there's more you want to know from our perspective on AI, please let us know. You can also drop us a line at agency@theglintstandard.com. Thanks for joining us.
Give us a thumbs up if you like this episode, and also leave us some comments or questions. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, go right here. And if you want to watch past episodes, check it out right there.